With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's go there.
With Shira and Ryan.
Oh my God. Entertainment.
Music. Pop culture.
LGBT plus news. Oh, let's go there.
Start now.
The thing that will make you stop crying when you're in an intense moment is just look at yourself crying.
Yes.
And then you're like, look at you.
I mean, you went a step further, right? And you started recording yourself.
Wait a second. Don't tell my story for me now. I'm pulling at you. Don't tell my story for me. No, basically, I was feeling like I needed some alone time last night, which it's interesting. There's a guy that I've been talking to, and he said, what does that mean you needed alone time? Like, I was like, self-care time. Come on, you know what that means.
Why would someone even not understand that? I think everyone needs an alone time.
I needed some me time.
Yes.
So I was feeling it. I was just sitting in it, and I was just like, oh, my God. You know what the overwhelming feeling when it feels like nothing is going right? Like, things just keep piling on top of each other, and you just feel like you're in a hole, and you don't know how you're going to get out of it.
Ooh.
The cry started.
I'm trying to figure out how we're going to get out of this.
Let me tell my story. The cry started, and then you know what I did, which I find very therapeutic?
What?
Try it out. If you want a good cry, one, shoot a video of yourself, not to post,
okay,
but to document this moment and say to yourself, this is where I'm at right now. And you know what? I'm going to look back at this moment and say, I got through it. And it gets better. I did my own It Gets Better video.
Wow. Heteros are just taking over the one gay thing we have. Doing your own depressing It Gets Better moment. How dare you?
One day, hopefully those won't be part of my leaks.
I'm going to leak it, actually. And be like, look at her. Just pushing her hetero agenda.
You know, I've just had something a bit sexier instead of me, like, with my snot everywhere. I'll be like, these are Shira's leaks. Okay,
let's
sexy.
Let's move on to what's trending in the news.
Yes, let's do it. Now, MJ Rodriguez is a trailblazer once again, as we know.
She's my queen. I love her, love her, love her.
Yeah, the Pose star became the first transgender woman to win Best Actress at TV at the Imagine Awards, an annual event honoring positive representations of Latinx people in media. Pose received 6 Emmy nominations this year, including Best Actor for Billy Porter and Best Drama. And now, right now, Laverne Cox is the only transgender woman to have ever received an Emmy nomination for her role as Sophia in Orange is the New Black. So go, MJ.
Yes, I mean, it's such a huge moment. She's such a sweet soul. I just saw her at the Billboard Pride Summit, and we had an amazing chat because we met all of them at the Trevor Project Gala when Shira and I hosted the live stream. And so it was a great little catch-up moment, and it was beautiful. I love her. So she deserves everything.
Yep. Now let's move on to the Trump administration, who announced new regulations that will effectively gut the Endangered Species Act, known as ESA, holding back one of the most important environmental laws ever passed. This makes me very sad, by the way. I mean, every time he strips back things for humans and now animals and the environment. Ugh. Now, one function of the ESA is to protect the land that a threatened or endangered species needs to survive. And the new regulations would limit the designation of this land called critical habitat, stating that sometimes it may not be prudent. So you don't need to be that prudent by taking over the land of an animal.
Here's the thing. I really think Trump is going to have to see everything on fire around him for him to be like, oh, yeah, I guess they were right about climate change, and then we just all burn up.
Something's going to happen.
Something has to happen, because for some reason, conservatives do not believe in the idea of, like, what is our what is our planet and climate change. It's like, it's a serious thing. We have to take care of this place. Like,
yeah, it's this disconnect that we are here and exist with other things.
Yeah.
Anyway, the responses to the change regulations have been overwhelmingly positive from Republican politicians, and as you can imagine, very negative from environmental groups. So we'll see what happens with that. But the ESA has saved 99% of the species it protects. And without that there, who knows what will happen. Now let's move on to Chris Cuomo from CNN, who was filmed in a heated altercation with a man who called him Fredo, a character from The Godfather, with hosts comparing the insult to a racial slur. Well, really? Is it? That's coming up next on What's Trending in the News.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, so on this weekend, Chris Cuomo, who's a CNN anchor, was called Fredo. during a confrontation with a heckler, a name that the CNN host characterized as an Italian Spurgeon. Spurgeon. And equated it to, here's where it gets very problematic. He equated it to the N-word. And let me tell you, that's the beginning of the
beginning of the
here.
End.
The beginning of the end. It's the end. It's an N-word.
What?
Oh, God.
Help it.
Pun intended. It wasn't. Oh, my God. Are you gonna?
I was not prepared for that. In I see what you did there,
but yeah, it was,
but maybe
okay,
not.
Got it. From problematic to problematic. Let's just play the clip.
From the right, call me Fredo. My name is Chris Cuomo. I'm an anchor on CNN. Fredo is from The Godfather. He was a weak brother.
Isn't that your?
And
brother,
they use it as an Italian aspersion. Any of you Italian?
I'm a little bit.
It's an insult to your people.
I didn't know that.
It's an insult to your f***ing people. It's like the N-word for us.
Wow.
Is that a cool f***ing thing?
Okay, so.
Explain to the people what happened. Because that was a lot. That clip is so much
animus. It's a lot. So this happened in New York. CNN anchor Chris Cuomo felt this was massively offensive. This guy just came up to him and said, you know, hey, Fredo, hey. And this isn't the first time he's been referred to as Fredo. Okay? It seems like he gets referred to by the nickname of the Godfather's middle son, Fredo, who seemed to be the weakest link of all the siblings. And it seems like as an Italian-American, this is an insult, right? There is a conservative radio show host, Rush Limbaugh, who is referred to Cuomo as the Fredo of the Cuomo family. So it seems like this is a sensitive topic to Cuomo. Now,
and only Cuomo, because no one else has a problem with it.
And so we want to get into this because there are now a lot of responses around this. People that do study this type of stuff, and they, as an Italian-Americans, they gave their thoughts. But the biggest issue here was the fact that he compared it to the N-word, right?
I mean, yeah,
You can't really compare something that you personally feel attacked by.
Let's be clear.
To the N-word.
Let's be clear. So the word Fredo comes from a movie, The Godfather, which was based in 72. That's when that movie was released, 1972. And so to say that it's as offensive as the N-word that it's basically that has so much historical damage in context to that word, the N-word. I don't see the comparisons. And also, Italian Americans, no shade. I don't know. I mean, I don't think Ariana Grande knows either, but y'all are white people. Y'all are white Americans in this country that have not gone through anything systematically. So the idea of trying to create this fake oppression over this idea of this word is outrageous to me. And honestly, it's atrocious.
So do you think if he had just said to this guy, hey, that's an insult to me, and this is what it means to me as an Italian American, that would have been okay? But then the fact that he brought in something that has so much, I mean, major weight to it, and the fact that it's a comparison?
I think, yeah, that's where he messed up, where he compared it. Now, here's the thing. I don't think, I see nothing wrong with him for getting that man together, because anybody that is going to come up to you
with your family,
as a public figure, anybody that's going to come up to you and try you in front of your family and everything, you need to, get them together. You need to kind of go off on them because it's disrespectful. That guy knew what he was doing. The people that he was with, they are automatically filming him. So it clearly was something where it was like, oh, we're going to try and we're going to push his buttons because we know who he is. We know he's a CNN anchor. We're going to try him see how far he'll go.
He got shot in the video and they knew it was going to go
exactly
viral.
So I don't have a problem with him standing up for himself. Where he messed up was that comparison of Fredo, based on a fictional character in a movie versus actual real thing like the N-word and what that really means. I'm sorry if it's offensive to him because that word, the character Fredo was kind of known to be lazy and incompetent. If that is what they felt like was a terrible representation of what Italian Americans are, I get it. That's terrible. But sis, not the same thing. Don't even utter that type of words. That's dangerous.
It was interesting because we were even talking about with Vanessa, who's from Colombia, and the word Escobar, how that has negative connotations. It's like me saying, oh, you're saying that word to you because you're from Colombia. But then once again, Escobar is someone real, right? So
yeah,
what are your thoughts?
Like if someone were to say oh, Escobar, I would be like, yeah, dude, that's his last name. I'm foreign.
It's not the same thing. We still can't say it.
What if I said Vanessa Escobar?
No, honestly, not. Not it's just the same an, so,
and there's
the
a difference, and this is what we were talking about actually. The difference between an insult and what is looked at as a slur.
It's two different things. And I want to be clear. So BBC actually wrote a piece about this, and they reached out to Anthony Tamburi. He is the dean of John D. Caliandro Italian American Institute at Queens College. And he actually went on to talk about this entire incident and says he does not find Frito personally offensive, but recognizes the potential malice behind the term. He actually said the use of the word Frito as an ethnic slur is a regionalism. It's basically, and you know, Anthony's actually a third generation Italian American. He said it's definitely something more local than it is national. One thing, powerful thing that he said Italians for the past 140 years have been accused of many things, including being lazy. Therefore, I can see how lazy transfers to incompetence. But he said, however, nothing compared to what African Americans have went through. As much as Italians have suffered and suffer greatly, African Americans and Jews have had to deal with things we have had not to deal with. And so the tragedy of slavery and the tragedy of genocide. So there has to be a clear conversation there. Like, you cannot compare the two.
Yeah, and I feel like this brings up a bigger topic to, like, why is everyone feeling like they need to own their hurt right
it's
now?
Not everyone. It's like, literally this whole white thing where it's like white oppression. It's like, you're not marginalized. You can't create this fake moment of being like, oh my God, this is really offensive to me. And it's like a slur. I'm sorry, there's not very many.
Why is everyone trying to one up offensiveness? I just don't get it.
I don't know.
This is, well, we get to go there more at a certain point on the show. But we are moving on from what's trending in the news. Are you okay?
I'm fine. Like I said, I like Chris Kruma. I think he is very attractive.
Yeah,
and
he's
I
an
think
attractive
he
guy.
He stood up for himself. He just messed up in that one little moment.
Okay, well, let's move on to top stories in pop culture and entertainment news. What's the tea?
Okay, so yes. Oh my God. So coming up in 7 minutes, Katy Perry is actually being accused of sexual assault.
What?
Find out what happened, and is this going to get as much attention as Me Too.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Honey, 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 it is time to spill the tea. And what's the tea? Our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. Now, this story is V-long, and so I hope you're ready, because Katy Perry was just accused of sexual assault by a male model. His name is Josh Kloss, who basically appeared in one of her videos, Teenage Dream, back in 2010. But he's claiming that she exposed his penis to a crowd of people at a party. I mean, for sure, it's wild. He wrote this whole entire like Instagram post talking about he was at her stylist's birthday party at Moonlight Rollaway, and he said, I saw Perry, we hugged, and she was still kind of my crush. But as she, basically he turned around to introduce his friend, she pulled his Adidas sweats and underwear out as far as she could to show a couple of her guy friends in the crowd around his penis. And so basically he said, could you imagine how pathetic and embarrassed I felt? Now, he continued on saying that he felt compelled to come forward as this is the anniversary of the video's release, and because he feels movements like Me Too only focus on female victims. He continued to say, I say this now because our culture is set on proving men of power are perverse, but but females with power are just as disgusting. So,
whoa,
there's a lot
crazy
happening here with this story.
Yeah.
And Katy Perry does not need another lawsuit because she just lost the one about this whole song thing that she has to pay out some money out, where they were saying she stole a song idea from like a Christian like rapper, I believe it was. But girl, why has this not been getting as much of attention as Me Too, as you know, everyone else?
We've said this before on the show, and we've talked about it, how there is a double standard. And I don't know if there's a, because of the power dynamics of, and I'm going to bring gender into this, like a man and a woman.
Yeah.
You don't think, even if a woman might do the same thing, you say, oh, a man can defend himself because he's stronger or bigger. Like, there is this total double standard in this all.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, actually, when we get back, her friends have actually come up to try to defend her. Mm. And we have their statements because Katy hasn't said anything. So find out what they have to say. And, of course, we have more coming up in What's the Tea?
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, so honey, we are back with What's the TR Entertainment Pop Culture Stories of the Day. And before we left off, we were talking about this whole scandal with Katy Perry now being accused of sexual assault by a male model that was in her Teenage Dream video back in 2010. Now, girl, you know, he just basically, this is one of the things he said. He said, it was one of the most confusing, assaulting, and belittling jobs I've ever done. Going back to his time when he was on the Teenage Dream set, he said he was only paid $650 for his time there, which I feel like, quote unquote, is kind of a lot. I don't know what he's complaining about, but you never know. But in all this case, he felt very embarrassed by the whole situation of her pulling down his pants in front of a group of her friends.
I wonder if, because a lot of us have done that in the past, like when you, have you ever been pranked when you were younger? In camp, we would always do that to each other.
Nah, honey, I feel like that's a white people thing.
No, at camp, no, I'm not kidding.
No, you can't do that with black people because black people get to fighting. Like if you embarrass them, black people, and it might just be people of color in general.
So, but I also think my generation, like, all right, so my generation, we did that at camp. That was like a prankster thing. Of course, we're older now. It's totally inappropriate.
I don't know. Y'all are all like offenders.
Well, it's like, isn't that crazy? Like, I grew up, that's what we would do to each other. Or even, we used to do things that definitely I look back at and I'm like, that was inappropriate slash somewhat like that was sexual assault.
Yeah.
People at my camp.
I would have sued. I was suing from the day I was born.
I was, when I was younger, they used to do, all right, this is really crazy. Uh-uh. Tune in Tokyo with your boobs. Tune in Tokyo.
Oh, like twist your boobs?
Yeah.
Wow, that is disgusting.
At camp. Sleepaway camp.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, but as an adult, Katy Perry is an adult.
Right.
And being who she is, I mean, there's no excuse if you're drunk or whatever. Because
here's the thing.
If it was reversed, this would be a problem.
Well, her friends who were actually there are coming up to her defense. You know, Johnny Wujek, he is her stylist. And he actually was at the party that, you know, Josh, this model, is claiming all this happened. He said, I'm not about to let you make accusations against my friends like this. This is such BS. Katy would never do something like that. He continued to go on and say that Josh actually had an ongoing obsession with Perry and that, you know, Johnny Wujek would be praying for him. And then also another good friend of Perry hit back at Klaus, calling him a liar, saying, remember when you texted me saying how you're in love with her and you wrote her a song and how soon you'll be able to be flying anywhere to meet her? You were paid for the job like any other job you've had, but your obsession with Katy has hit another level. Stop lying to yourself and find peace in your life. Move on.
Yikes.
Now, here's the thing. I will say Katy Perry, I feel like, is a very eccentric type of person. I feel like she probably has that relationship with her friends, like doing stuff like that.
Pranks.
I feel like
she
gets that. I mean, this is the girl that, you know, got caught in a bathroom as a hamburger at the Met Gala by J-Lo. Like, she's a very hilarious kind of girl where she's just very quirky. Now, I'm interested into knowing if this is going to go further, because this is a story that has came out today, and, you know, a rep for Perry didn't immediately respond to any of, like, any requests to Page Six or anything. So no one really knows her thoughts on this. But also, like you said, it brings up a great conversation about the gender balances of seeing and how we treat women in these cases versus men. And if this happened, it's still, and I've said this before, I'm still going to believe victims. And if it happened and he felt that way, we can't take that away
and
from
what's,
him.
Yeah, of course. And then what's the balance between you're at a party, everyone's drinking, and you do something as a joke, not to, like, actually assault someone.
No, but even then, like, you're drinking and all that stuff, I think there's still boundaries. Because even if I was at a party and my friend tried to do something like that to me, I would be upset. I would not be having it. And I probably would low-key be fighting. But I told you,
but then
people.
If you did it in the moment versus kept it yourself, but then is that part of the thing he felt?
What do you mean kept to yourself?
He probably kept it himself, trying to, like...
It's also Katy Perry's part. It was like a Katy Perry party. Yeah, we're really, like, he's probably one. There's a power dynamic there.
Oh,
Katy Perry is a huge pop star who, you know, is not going to allow... he's probably like, oh, I can't just, like, accuse her of this in front of all of her friends.
Oh,
who they're
gonna
believe.
Yeah, and that's why he brought it up now, to make a statement. Makes sense.
So I don't know. It's interesting. I can't wait to see this story develop and seeing what's going to happen. But shout out to that guy. Sorry that you felt that way.
Still want to figure out what happened, even though I believe him.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't sound like you really believe him.
I believe him. It's just like it gets. Yeah, I do feel like I'm even putting in my bias because of it being like Katy Perry. She's just funny. mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, if you want to, you know, sound off on this story, head over to our social at We Are Channel Q. And for more entertainment stories, head over to our website at WeAreChannelQ.com.
Okay, well, bananas. Are you into the fruit?
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
See, if I had done that, it would have been cheesy, but it was cool from you.
Of course, duh.
Bananas might be going extinct.
Oh, that I don't like bananas anyway.
How dare you?
I don't.
You?
Bananas are so gross.
That's coming up in 10 minutes on What's Trending in the News, top of the hour.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, before we get into what's trending in the news top of the hour, a warm welcome to all our cities joining the Channel Q movement. So we broadcast now in Detroit, Milwaukee, New Orleans, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Norfolk. Welcome.
What did you say? Is it Norfolk?
Norfolk.
Norfolk. Norfolk. You said Norf.
There is a Norfolk. All right. Norfolk. We love you and welcome. We hope we add
more things that Shira will mispronounce.
We hope we add value to your life every single day. Now we're going to get into what's trending in the news top of the hour. We do this to catch you up on the latest headlines. Okay, a Magnum ice cream, an ad. You know Magnum, the ice cream?
I know a thing or two about Magnums.
I don't get how there's Magnums and Magnum ice cream. Wouldn't they, like, compete? Like, I don't know. Wouldn't they sue each other or something?
No, why? One is a condom brand, another one is not ice cream.
Anyway, well, they compared eating desserts to the violent oppression of homophobic regimes, and it left consumers with a pretty bitter taste in their mouths. The ice cream brand has regularly sold its products as guilty pleasures. They use provocative imagery, but it seems they might have crossed the line with this one in this audio ad. So the ad was flagged by Spotify users and listeners, and it includes mock testimonials from a man discussing the threat of arrest in a country that outlaws homosexuality. It's pretty heavy,
yeah.
Okay? And it says, "A hug for my boyfriend. That's my guilty pleasure, because in my country, just a simple hug with the man I love could send me to prison for more than 10 years. Magnum ice cream." No, I'm adding this part. I'm like, Magnum ice cream, get your ice cream on. Like, I don't know. Like, really? Really? Like, I get what you're trying to do. You're trying to make a really powerful statement.
I don't get it. They clearly have no queer people on their team, because anyone that thought this was okay, like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to get rid of all my problems by taking a bite out of this Magnum ice cream. Yeah, who cares if I can't hug my partner or if it's illegal and
or
I can
might
die?
Get killed.
All I need is some Magnum ice cream.
Now, as you can imagine, the response has been negative. Someone said, "What the hell? There are at least three versions of the Magnum ice cream ad that does a bit about being gay, would get me X years in prison, followed by a get a Magnum. Pleasure should be guilty. That's effed."
That is honestly, it's funny because you could tell they clearly did not do any research into this. They thought this was a good idea. And there's, once again, you talk about companies that want to be a part. I mean, back in 2017 of June, they released this whole special Pride Month thing. I almost, like, died. I almost choked at myself. But, like, they released this whole special Pride Month ice cream bar, and all the proceeds went to GLAAD. But it just shows that these companies just want to be a part of something, but
like,
they don't actually.
This one.
Right. Speaking of, I almost did. I almost threw up.
So a Magnum spokesman told Newsweek the ad sought to remind people that what is considered a guilty pleasure isn't always what you would expect. Okay.
Still a terrible
Moving
response.
On.
They
let's,
clearly did not do anything better.
Let's move on to bananas. Beware. Guys, this is the impact of climate change and not caring about
okay.
our environment.
Tell me more about bananas.
Last week, Colombia declared a national state of emergency after confirming that a devastating banana fungus called Panama Disease Tropical Race 4, TR4, has been detected on almost 445 acres of farmland in the country. Now, according to science, to science facts,
According to science.
This is the first time the fungus's presence has been confirmed in South America. And that could be very bad news for bananas. That's because Colombia is the fourth biggest banana exporter in Latin America.
Wow.
Yeah, according to National Geographic, there isn't really another backup banana that could replace the banana right now, which is known as the Cavendish. Okay, agricultural scientists haven't been able to develop a banana that replicates the familiar flavor of the Cavendish and that can survive the lengthy transport times from South and Central America to here or anywhere else in the world. And that has any kind of immunity to TR4, this fungus. So basically, if they don't figure this out, I'm telling bananas, done. Dunzo.
I mean, I'm not a fan of a banana. And y'all shouldn't be a fan of bananas anymore. Clearly, like, there's all bananas need to be recalled. And if you are sitting in your car, like, kind of on a break right now and there are going
I
home.
I bought a banana last night.
Right, you about to die.
It's an organic banana.
It's a fungus.
Not necessarily. That's why it's important to know where food is from. How many times do we pick up food every single day and we're like, yeah, just here. I assume it's safe.
I just don't understand the idea of, like, what is the difference between an organic banana and a regular banana?
Pesticides. Things that were grown, like,
But you're acting like the organic banana can't catch this fungus. It's a banana at the end of the day.
Bananas' lives matter.
According to science.
No, I don't want to get into... I'm not going to go on a rant about that.
I mean, you were about to talk about all of that with climate change stuff.
Well, we want to move on to some more important things, like Liam and Miley breaking
up. Oh, really?
Really important.
From climate change to pop culture.
And why it's important to know where your fruit and whatever your food comes from. Okay. In the wake of his split from Miley Cyrus, which it was a surprise to everyone, right? Couple goals. I was even surprised.
I wasn't. I feel like Liam tries to change Miley. Like, he wants Miley to be a certain way, and because she is this really outspoken, free spirit kind of girl, he doesn't know how to align with her. So,
well, he's now posted to social media wishing her the best. He put a photo up that appears to be a beautiful sunset seen on a beach. It appeared on his official Instagram account early today. The caption said, "Hi all, just a quick note to say that Miley and I have recently separated, and I wish her nothing but health and happiness going forward." In the caption, it also appeared to address a Daily Mail Australia story, which had been picked up by a lot of other outlets, quoting him as saying this about the split: "You don't understand what it's like." And he added, "This is a private matter, and I've not made nor will I be making any comments to any journalists or media outlets. Any reported quotes attributed to me or are false. Peace and love." So there you have it. It's over. And he's single now, which, I mean, I'm excited for both of them being single. I would hook up with both of them.
Of course. It always goes back to who Shira wants to get laid with. It's a moment.
Romance. It's romance, Ryan. That was what's trying to get the news top of the hour right here on Let's Go There. Now, a former Republican congressman who was closeted at the time and anti-gay is now out, but is also being called out with new leaks and more. Should we feel bad for him? That's coming up next.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Let's talk about former Republican congressman Aaron Schock, who was known for being very anti-gay. He voted in favor of anti-gay legislation while in office. Well, it seems like he's taking one step out of the closet. Now, at Coachella, he actually got called out because pictures surfaced, right, of him doing things and hanging out with guys.
He was making out with guys, yeah. And it's super funny because this guy is known for his anti-gay past. I mean, he has literally voted against LGBTQ issues and rights that we have needed, and he spent most of his time being not an ally, but being an opposite of that.
Well, now we've gone a step closer to, I would say, do you think this story, by the way, is us outing him?
No. I don't care about this man.
I just want to know.
I do not care about this man.
Well, screenshots of an alleged private chat between Aaron Schock and a man by the name of Edwin Montanez have surfaced online, and they basically offer a new insight into his recent string of scandals, and also, you know, what he thinks about liberals and more. So these screenshots are from an alleged private chat. Their validity has not been verified, but they appear to be pretty legit, and this is what's circulating online. And because they include the screenshots are watermarked with the words "me" and "Schock." Okay, not that says anything, but it seems, you know, pretty legit.
Okay.
So in it, he basically says Montanez, who reaches out to Schock and says he's disgusted by everything that's been reported about Schock, including his nudes that leaked earlier this summer. And he says, those are personal, meant to be between you and whoever you're sharing them with, not the world.
Which I agree with that.
Yeah.
That's
from Montanez.
Yeah, leaking someone's nudes is trash, and no one should have to go through that. But even though this guy is trash, karma comes back to bite. But yeah, it's still a trash
move. Then Schock responds by thanking him for his support before saying something about how liberals who preach about tolerance, acceptance, and compassion only now are acting mean and nasty towards anyone who doesn't agree with them. What are your thoughts on that? That's interesting.
It's very ironic that he's trying to throw that up into the air, because I think you have to realize, and one thing that I feel like he's not really taking accountability for is his actions. He's not understanding that people are reacting to the him. Reacting to him this way is because of his actions and what he's done, as trying to all of us, you know, not all of a sudden, but, you know, someone that was dealing with internalized homophobia and his actions through government work and policies that we have needed for LGBTQ people. And the fact that he has voted against that, people feel like he's trash and they're treating him like that.
Exactly. So then this guy, Montana, I give him a lot of credit. He's having a total conversation with this guy. He said,
surprised he's doing, because it's honestly, you would think that, you know, with his history, you know, Aaron Schock's history with dealing with people online, like with his nudes leaking, he wouldn't be being so open or honest, kind of quote unquote, with him
He made him feel comfortable, obviously, because then this guy brings up Schock's anti-gay record from his time, you know, working in government. And this is what Schock says: "We each have our own journey. Obviously, I hadn't come to terms with my sexuality 11 years ago when those votes were cast." And then he continues saying he plans to speak about it eventually, but right now I'm dealing with my family, who I was in the process of coming out to when the Coachella video went viral. Not exactly how you want your mom to find out.
So this obviously this conversation has happened, and this is not the only thing here, because, you know, this guy is having a full-on conversation with him, kind of trying you know, cater to his emotions in some weird way, which is very interesting, because, you know, the whole situation that we talked about earlier this week, or even last week, about the whole Equinox situation, you know, it's interesting because Equinox is kind of a gay mecca for gay men.
Yeah.
And it's been one of those places where, you know, people have been asking to boycott Equinox, but honey, y'all can't even keep away from this man who has literally done nothing for us. And it's just like, it feels like a lot of these kind of quote unquote white gays, you know, gay men are just allowing, you know, everything that he's done, and not all of them, but there's some men that are still catering to him and having sex with him and still kind of, you know, dating him in some way. Like, there was an influencer that got dragged for posting a picture of them on the beach together, captioning it "Beach Bros," and people were like, "Are you kidding me? Like, you're hanging out and then being public with the idea with this guy? Like, what are you doing?"
Does it go back to, I know this sounds weird, as you like going back to hooking up with the bad boy, like the person you know you shouldn't be connecting with?
No, I think it goes back to people not caring. If it's not affecting them, then they don't care, and that's the weird thing about being a part of the LGBTQ community, not feeling that these pushbacks in our administration, where they're going back against LGBTQ policy and things that, you know, our sisters and brothers, our queer trans sisters and brothers need. It's like, oh, it's not affecting me, so I don't care. I'm going to sleep with this guy because he's hot. And that should not be your reasoning. There should be a blackballing happening with Aaron Schock, because he has done so much and has gotten away with it. Mm. It's just like the fact that people are still even, you know, entertaining him and trying to, like, I don't know, be seen in public with this guy. Like, it's okay.
It's almost like because he's opening up to them, they feel like there's something special.
No, it just feels like they don't care unless it's about themselves. And clearly these men are just trying to get a D appointment, if you know what I mean.
I know what you're saying. But so basically it kind of brings up the question.
I didn't need you to say that part. Everyone knew what that was.
It brings up the question. We want to get into this after the break. Does this person deserve a shot again? Like, should he fully be canceled? We've already canceled him. At what point is there reciprocity, or is there any sort of room to grow in this scenario? And should we feel bad for where he's at right now? Up next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
We've been talking about former Republican Congressman Aaron Schock, who was very anti-gay while in government, and now has been coming out or been forced out of the closet. And it brings up the question, does he deserve a chance? Like, obviously not everyone's going to cancel him. People are already hooking up with him and taking pictures of him and okay with connecting with him.
People that look a certain way, by the way.
Yeah. But so obviously some people are forgiving him.
I don't even know if people are forgiving him. I think people are just like ignoring it, and just because they want to have a quick hookup and Grindr's a thing, they're using that, and they're just using him as a deployment.
Because they think, one,
he's hot. He's an attractive man.
He's somewhat of a celebrity. Mm. Are we that quick to forget about things from the past?
One, to go back to your, I guess your initial question was, you know, does he deserve kind of a second chance?
Yeah.
And for me, I don't believe, I don't know, to be honest. I don't know specifically with him. I'm not sure because he has not really, he kind of briefly talked about in this conversation, but he publicly, it doesn't seem like that he has held himself to accountable. It doesn't seem like he has, you know, addressed the issues that people have with him. And it just feels like he is, you know, kind of escaping with a lot of that he's done career-wise, a lot of the stuff that he's done. He's escaped a lot of his repercussions. I mean, I feel like he's doing the same thing. So I don't know if he really deserves a second chance. I mean, he most definitely doesn't deserve a second chance back in government. But anything else, I'm not sure. I really don't care about the
guy. But it seems like from what he's saying, he's obviously had a hard time coming out to his family.
But that was a private conversation that got leaked. He had that with one person. He has not had that with
He's still trying to come
platform.
To terms, it seems. And just because everyone else, and this is another question, just because everyone else is comfortable coming out more easily, maybe.
That's not the point,
comfortable,
though.
But should we be judging the way certain people come out of the closet?
No one's caring about him coming out. It's
what
he's
did
done.
When he was in the closet.
It's what he's done with his internalized homophobia that has affected thousands and hundreds of thousands of LGBTQ people.
But honestly, he didn't realize that because he was himself so closeted.
No, but yes, he did realize that because he hated himself so much that he rather had voted against something that could help so many other people just because of the hate that he has of himself. He knew what he was doing, and he's kind of addressed that in his own way, saying that, oh, I hadn't came out yet and I didn't know what I knew
and
now.
It's hard, yeah,
but
it's
so
saying
you
how hard
knew,
it is. So,
you knew when you made that decision what you were doing.
But he
I'm
felt
sorry.
At the time like he didn't have a choice.
No, and that's BS. I mean, that's not okay. I think, here's the thing, everyone goes through their own journeys when it comes to their coming out.
Oh, yeah.
No one's saying that everyone should have the same journey. This is one situation where it's not monolithic. But I think when you are in a place of toxicity and you are also in a place of power and you use your power for going against a community that you are low-key a part of, terrible situation.
But it's also major denial.
It's major denial, and I think you still have to hold yourself accountable to your actions and the consequences that come there, like, on from that.
All right. Well, you could say in many ways, and you said this, that the person who was talking to him was kind of also, you know, not leading him on, but, you know, giving him some support, and that's kind of part of the problem, too.
Yeah, it's gross.
So it kind of brings up our next topic. If your significant other is problematic,
That was a great segue.
You part of the problem?
Yeah.
Because, and significant other, you could be in a deep relationship, or you could be just dating, or even entertaining them via Messenger.
I'm not going to call you out, Shira, but you have most definitely dated some problematic people in your life,
yeah.
And you stayed dating them.
No, I've ended those.
Yeah, but you were in them for a very long minute.
I think actually being part of Channel Q and being so, and us talking about what an ally really means. And
of course,
me
your eyes have been opened.
Of that is obviously I know what I stand for, but being around others that might say things in private, I realized, like, part of that, it wasn't just telling them, like, part of being an ally saying that that is wrong, but also part of that is saying, I don't think I could even be friends with you or be in a relationship.
Yeah, of course. I'm happy that obviously you've come to terms with that and that's what's happened. But I do think there's this idea of dating a partner, especially when it comes to hetero people,
yeah.
Where they're considering themselves to be allies and they're considering themselves to be kind of, you know, they're wanting to help, you know, raise kind of, you know, yeah. marginalized communities in some ways. But they still date people that have these terrible kind of viewpoints. And it's just like, how can you do that? And how are you not completely?
Yep.
To either, you know, homophobia, transphobia, racism, all these things that can be, you know, put together.
And I think for me, coming from where my background is, there is this hero thing of like, I want to bring them to the other side, or I want to show them, and like, I want to, you know, when those things come up. And
yeah.
So, and specifically, we're talking about cis hetero guys that happen to be white also.
Yeah.
And that might say like, oh, say, I would say words or just do things that, no, not like not consistently, but things
but
might
come
up.
But even then, you can't, I wouldn't but even say are, not consistently, because you cannot, you can't say that with racism. Like, oh, I'm not a consistent racist every once
but
in a while.
There were moments that were surprise moments to me.
Yeah.
And that in those moments, I thought to myself, God, these are such good people, and I know they don't mean it. It's kind of from their background, and I want to show them, and I would like to be that person to teach them.
So I'm interested in the phrasing of that, because you said you know they don't mean it. And I think there's something there where you can't say that, because you when someone says something and it doesn't happen as consistently, but it still happens, I think that is a part of them. And when people show you who they are, you have to take that for what it is. In love, you can't just be, because, and here's the thing, I know, you know, I date men. Men, when the sex is good, honey, it's hard to really get away from it. So some good D can really help you, could put you in a trance where you're just like ignoring everything. I get it. But honestly, it's you have to realize that that is problematic in kind of fueling, like, you know, not saying you're saying things, because of course you would, and you would, you know, condemn them. But
you
even
almost think
then,
that, by the way, though, when you're in that, similar to how, I'm not going to compare it to being like in maybe an abusive scenario, you always think like, oh, it'll get better, or like that was just one
instance.
You put
an excuse.
Yeah. That's just one instance. And like, I'm sure, yeah, they didn't mean it. And so I do believe, I hope, I don't think I'm the only one that has experienced this.
No, I have so many. Well, here's the thing. I have so many, like, especially straight women in my life that have dated men where it has been not uncomfortable for me to be around, but it has been, it's really been interesting to see how one person in the relationship can really strongly say they're an ally and say they're all these things and they stand for something while dating someone that is honestly kind of not caring about what they're putting out into the world. So we're going to continue this conversation coming right up. Don't y'all go anywhere. We'll be back.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Hey, so before the break, we were talking about things that your partner might do that are problematic, and if you are complicit to it, or I guess you stay with them, are you part of the problem?
Yeah.
And
how are we, I guess, because we, and you know, we always are cruising the interwebs.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, you did an amazing segue from Aaron Shock, what we were talking about previously. But there was like an actual thing from like Slate.com that we saw where this kind of inspired this whole entire thing.
Yeah, because this could happen whether the person you're with is saying things about others, right? People of other races, genders, the LGBTQ plus space. And it might be a slip of tongue, or it might be
a positivity space.
It might be a real issue, something they consistently do. And you think to yourself, and we talked about this, maybe this will pass. Maybe I could teach them.
Right.
Maybe they just made a mistake. And that becomes an issue, right? So this is a question that was brought up on Slate.com in an advice column. And it's all about this woman who's asking, should I dump my boyfriend for comments about overweight and slutty women? He's nice to me.
Mm.
Okay, this is interesting. She said, I've recently become official with a guy I've been with for a few months. He's bro-y, you could say. It always is those guys, not to put an umbrella, the bro-y frat types. Sorry.
I mean, you would know.
That become, you know, somewhat problematic. All right. Bro-y, frat, he was in a frat. His friends are mostly loud men. He likes beer and football on the weekends, so on. Not my usual type, but he's sweet and attentive to me behind closed doors, especially in bed. Kind of goes back to what you said. If the D is good, you know.
I'm telling you, it'll ruin your life.
Yeah. However, there's one thing that keeps getting to me. He often says things about other women that are crude at best and misogynistic at worst. He's made comments about an overweight woman eating fries at a bar. He called a friend of mine a slut, a word she'd happily use for herself, but he did not say it that way. He made a weird joke speculating about how two lesbians we know have sex. By the way, I've dated a guy like this. Every time he does, I shut it down and tell him that's an unacceptable way to talk about women. And he always seems genuinely surprised, agrees with me, and apologizes. I wonder if I'm too easy on him because I want to be with him, and he doesn't treat me this way. What do you think? So basically, is it okay that she's with this guy? And the issue is with this. There's two sides to this. Because I do think this person genuinely doesn't realize, because he comes from a background where he hasn't been called out on this before. And so at what point do we say,
the
like...
excuses.
But at what point, Ryan, it's a legitimate question.
Is it, though?
If this is not... If this is how he was raised and this is what he's around, but he's called out and realizes it's wrong, I mean, what are you, here's the thing, what are you supposed to do about
here's
that?
Here's my POV. If this was, you know, probably 15, 20, you know, 25 years ago before the interwebs, and there wasn't a community of social media, you know, on social media where you are clearly learning about, you know, what's wrong, what's right, social justice issues, all these things, I don't feel like it is a legitimate question anymore to kind of, or a statement anymore to say, oh, well, he wasn't raised in this type of world. He didn't have these type of people around him. Because guess what? I understand that from being from the South. I get it where, you know, you are a person that is surrounded by so many different people. But with things, especially in such a politicalized, you know, climate that we are in currently and have been for the past 4 years, it really showcases what people can learn if you're looking for
it. But wait, when I even say I've been with some types like this, these are people that would vote against Trump, but still might say things like this.
But that's an issue. Just because you would vote against Trump does not mean you are a good person. I'm sorry, Shira. Like, that is not working. You cannot give me that as an
excuse.
And
so, if these things happen, not everyday occurrences, and he's willing to acknowledge it, you think we should just cancel those or alienate those types of people? Because part of growth is being able to say to those people, what you're saying is wrong, and I'm here to support.
But I think here's the thing. If you are going to date someone, you want to date someone that is equally yoked to you. You want to date someone that is on the same level. Are they willing and opening to listen? This girl has told him multiple times and says things where, like, this is not okay. But it seems like he falls back into it where he always falls back into saying something problematic. That is an issue.
He doesn't know what problematic means.
And that's the reason why you've dated the men you've dated, because you allow excuses.
Well,
and that is no shade.
And that's why I'm single now. And I'm re-looking at the value system. It's something I actually didn't think about as much because
you are also a white woman, a privileged white woman that has not had to deal with any type of ups and downs when it comes to systematic issues.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Birds of a feather flock together. And that is no shade. No, that, and I'm not coming at you or anything. I just feel like when you are raised in experience, like you said, of course, you're going to date like-minded people. But because you have grown and
I don't think I was ever someone that would say these things.
No, but you are used to dating men like that. And so you're used to dating men because that's kind of all you knew. But you had to be, you know, doing Channel Q, and you had to be friends with me for you to kind of switch your mind frame. And I love that about you. But you're open to that. There's people out there, like other men, that are not open to the experiences of listening to them and actually taking forth action to change.
Yeah, I have more things to say about this, but we'll continue right after this. And we've got what's trending in the news coming up. Harry Styles as Prince Eric. Okay.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
We're getting into what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour,
and
a celebration for our new cities to jump on board the Channel Q movement. We are broadcasting now in Detroit, Milwaukee, New Orleans. Is it New Orleans or New Orleans?
I said New Orleans.
Yeah. Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Norfolk. Welcome to the fam.
Welcome to the family.
Yeah, and of course, you can listen to us on the radio, but then also on radio.com. Just download the channel, download the radio.com app, find Channel Q, favorite us, and listen to our show 24/7. Well, the station and our show, we're 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. And guess what? We're also a podcast. So many ways to find us. Let's go there. Okay, what's trending in the news, top of the hour right now? So there's an inaugural LGBTQ plus cruise. It's called Vicaya's. Vicaya. Have you heard about this?
I don't know what this is, but tell me more.
So reports are coming out that Kristen Chenoweth took the stage.
The
gay cruise.
What's the girl? Catherine McPhee.
Yeah.
They both sang a song together.
Yeah, they were. So Chenoweth was in this sparkling rainbow dress, and she wowed the crowd by bringing out former American Idol contestant McPhee for a rendition of For Good, which, if you know, Kristen Chenoweth originally sang that song with Idina Menzel.
Right.
When she was playing the role of Glinda in the Broadway show. The Witch Show. What's it called? Wicked.
Wicked. It's my favorite. It's my all-time favorite Broadway musical. I saw it with the original cast, so Christian and Idina. And literally, love this moment. It was so good.
McPhee is no Idina, but she does know how to sing.
Tried it. She was great. It was a good moment. I saw the video. It was cute.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's play the part. For a reason. Catherine McPhee and Kristen Chenoweth, who we love. Now, Kristen also has an album she's promoting. Next month, she's going to be releasing For the Girls, an homage to her favorite female singers.
Yes.
It's going to feature duets. This is going to be actually pretty amazing. With Jennifer Hudson, Dolly Parton, Reba McEntire, and Ariana Grande.
Yeah, I mean, it was a when I saw it, I was like, girl, this is a big
yeah,
moment.
So
we're gonna have to try to get her back on the show to talk all about it. Maybe in studio.
Yeah, if you want to listen to her on Let's Go There, she has been on our show, by the way.
Yes, we know her.
Just go to wearechannelq.com and find Let's Go There for all our episodes or us on Apple Podcasts. Now, the album is out September 27th, and so definitely look out for that and possibly her on our show very soon. Now, this is for our listeners everywhere, but specifically San Francisco. A shout out to this cannabis edibles company, Plus Products, Inc., who has reportedly donated over $60,000 to the San Francisco LGBT Center. All proceeds from the sales of its annual Rainbow Sorbet limited edition gummies. Now, the promotion pledged to donate a single dollar for each unit of gummies sold. And this comes from Jake Highmark, who's the CEO and co-founder of Plus Products, who said this limited edition and the accompanying donation is just a small way for Plus to show support for the LGBTQ plus community. Our company was honored to have the opportunity to work with the SF LGBT Center this year, and they are truly engaged as a partner and look forward to more opportunities. The company said the 2019 Rainbow Sorbet limited edition gummies sold more than any of its previous seasonal releases, because why not? Who doesn't love cannabis and also supporting the community? It's like the best of all worlds.
I mean, that's the type of content I would sign up for immediately.
And the center definitely needs donations. They are currently in the process of also developing a national LGBTQ center for the arts, a transgender historical district, and queer leather district, continuing its legacy as cradle for the LGBTQ culture. Even as, you know, rents are skyrocketing to push the poorest, most marginalized queers and queer artists out of the city limits in San Francisco. So a shout out, you know, I would say Yaz Queen to the LGBT Center in San Francisco.
Yes.
And also this company Plus Products, who's doing some cool stuff. Because let me tell you, the cannabis industry is making so much money. It can contribute so much to cities. Well, taxes.
Right.
Like a lot of the reason why legalization happened, besides the medical and health benefits of cannabis, is because states can actually make them pay big taxes, and that can go back to hopefully supporting other real issues.
Mm-hmm.
So the cannabis industry can do a lot of good stuff right now. That was what's trending in the news top of the hour right here on Let's Go There. Now, we are getting into this question of sexiness and age. Does being sexy have an age limit? I mean, I don't think so, because I'm getting older and I need to believe in sexiness at all ages.
I don't know, because my thought process is I feel like, you know, sexy does have a little bit of an age limit. I don't know. You can't. Don't push it.
Stop,
don't try it too much, honey.
Stay tuned for the debate after this.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, welcome back to the show. We're talking about sexiness.
Ooh,
and does
sexy,
it have
sexy.
An age limit? I mean, me, I think you can be sexy at any age. It's all about attitude. And I don't know. I feel like you're a bit more picky, Ryan. You have a bit more conditions everything.
No. I'm going to see how, if you really think sexy is all of, like, of all ages and, like, of all moments and experiences. Because I feel like it's a lot easier said than done for people to be like, yeah, of course. Like, you know, everyone is beautiful inside and out, which is true. I do believe in that. But sexy is something interesting that I really want to dive into, because I feel like a lot of times sexy could just mean, like, you know, I don't know, like, when it comes to being younger and, like, dressing sexy and all these things, but, like, sexiness is, like, yeah, I guess it's tied to confidence, but I don't know. I just don't believe that you can be sexy forever. Like, I know that I'm not going to be sexy forever.
That is a lie.
I'm sexy now, but I just don't know.
I want to hear you say that. When you're 60 or even 80, a million bucks,
I'm not
going
to be having sex by then, so I
don't
really care if I'm sexy.
You don't need to have sex to feel sexy. Okay.
Yes, you do.
That is not true.
Who's not having sex if they're sexy?
You could have sex with yourself. Okay. So Bebe Rexha, she's a pop star. This all kind of stemmed from the story that has made headlines recently. She's 29 years old. Would be considered very, I mean, she's young.
She's
still.
Young, she's so young. I can't believe this is even a story.
She claims that a music executive basically put her on blast, shaming her over photos she chooses to share on social media. And she had, you know, in this post that she put on Instagram, she had this black and white mirror selfie showing her in a black bra and matching underwear. And she had this really lengthy caption saying this: I recently had a male music executive tell me that I was getting too old and that my brand was confusing because I'm a songwriter and I post sexy pics on my Instagram. And that's not what female songwriters are supposed to do, especially for my age. And she added, I'm 29. And then she continued, I'm fed up with being put in a box. I make my own rules. I'm tired of women getting labeled as hags when they get old and guys getting labeled as sexy with age. You know, people's most sexiest is always older guys. The sexy people.
Oh, the sexy list.
Whatever, sexy list.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
sexiest
I guess,
guy
yeah.
in the freaking world. A lot of times those are guys that are like dads, like who have basically...
Which we love as daddy.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, would a woman... That is the same age or has
Julia
the same
Roberts
experience.
Has been on that same list, most well, beautiful woman
she?
In the world.
I wonder.
She's been in it clearly in her 50s and I don't know if she's 60 yet, but she's been on it for a very
How
long
just
time.
Age Julia Roberts out. She added, I'm turning 30 on August 30th, and you know what? I'm not running away from it. And I'm not going to lie about my age or sing songs that I feel will sell better because they sound younger. I'm going to celebrate my age because you know what? I'm wiser. I'm stronger. And trust me, I'm a much better lover than I was 10 years ago.
First of all, girl, she is 20. What did you say?
29.
29. She's still very young. So I appreciate her sentiments. But girl, you're not even in this conversation. And whoever that music exec set was, yeah. They're clearly out of their mind. I think
they are. But I think you don't see this. This happens so much more than you think.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, it's Hollywood.
And they're out of their mind, but people who are very much mentors and give great advice, by the way, say things like this. And they don't need to be that extreme to still make women feel like that they're getting that type of advice from them.
So, you know what, when I think of this question, I think of just when we're asking, does being sexy have a limit? I think of a prime example, and this is no shade whatsoever. We play her music. It's great.
Uh-oh.
But I think of Madonna. I think of someone that has not completely, you know, realized that she is of an older age and that she can, you know, she's had her time, she's outgrown it, but continuing to try and continue to be to show off all these body parts. It feels like it's not genuine, it's not authentic, and it doesn't feel like it. It honestly fits
so
for her. It just feels like it's a try hard.
Is it possible to do those things and be sexually liberated and be doing things that are trendy?
You know who does a good example of
what?
That? Angela Bassett. She is everything. She, one, carries herself. She's very demure. She wears sexy outfits, but she knows and understands who she is in her age, and she understands how to rock what she has by, you know, being her own version of sexiness and not trying to keep up with the young kids. I think when I'm thinking of sexy having an age limit, I'm thinking of, yeah, it does to a certain extent, because you should not be at a certain age, an older age, trying to keep up with the younger kids' sexiness. Like, that's not it's on two different ball lanes. A 20-year-old is not going to be has the same sexy as a 40-year-old. That is two different sexies.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. They're bringing sexy back. A new type of sexy. I've heard that phrase.
You can't help yourself.
I was waiting to bring that into the conversation. All right, we're going to get into your social media responses after this. Is there an age limit to being sexy? And you can also give us a call, 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557.
Call Channel Q right now, 833-77-CALL-Q. That's 833-772-2557. We are the new Channel Q.
Does sexy have an age limit? We're getting into that right now. And what is the definition of sexiness? Because we have the Madonnas, as Ryan said, who seems to, like, you know, can't, I would say, mature into her sexiness. You think she just keeps up with the trends and tries to be young. And then you have the Angela Bassetts of the world.
Yes.
And why are we only connecting sex?
That's why her skin looks better.
But I want to use male examples or other. Yeah. Can we use some male examples?
First of all, there's better. I don't know when did Brad Pitt become the antithesis of like a sexy white guy, but there are plenty other men that fit that kind of narrative.
Well, what is a guy that's an old, because I feel like we always use examples of women, but what's an example of a guy that is, you know, not aging gracefully and one that is?
Anderson Cooper.
Huh?
Anderson Cooper.
That has
George
aged
Clooney.
Gracefully.
Well, that's because he has white hair.
No.
But, no, he is older.
But he's also, he's also a gay man, so of course he's going to put himself together.
George Clooney.
Oh, yes. Now, he is one that has aged well versus.
I don't know. If
a Kid Rock.
Yes.
Kid Rock is a clear example of one. He just called out Taylor Swift and said some very derogatory words
about her. The thing is,
you're
bringing in some interesting things. When we talked about a guy, maybe it's his look, but you kind of brought up more his what he's saying versus women kind of get looked at.
No, I also think what Madonna acts like, when I'm talking about what she looks like and how she acts, I also it's what she speaks about as well. I mean, she's been a ton of scandal when it comes to her own children and how she's, you know, kind of raised them, and then also her cultural appropriation situation. Yeah, there's a lot of things if we really want to deep dive into it, but I thought we were talking about the whole overall sexiness. And not saying Kid Rock, I mean, maybe Kid Rock's a terrible example.
But I
he's
do
not
think that what
all,
comes
but
out of your mouth definitely influences your sexiness.
And it influences how you age. Yeah. Problematic people age way worse than unproblematic people. You
Look
better
out.
Remember it.
You will die sooner.
You better remember.
No, actually, if you have more hate and anger and bitter and resentment, you will age yourself.
Yes.
Come from a place of self-love and happiness. Man, you will have that glow.
Yeah, I mean, no shade, but look at Kellyanne Conway. She, like, is the same age as a lot of people that I know, and, like, they look completely different. That is no shade. That is no shade. I'm proving a point
here.
Oh,
my God. All right. We actually have a caller from West Virginia.
Yeah, Parker.
Would you want, like, I have nieces and nephews at around the 10, 11, 12 years old, and I would be very upset with them wearing stuff that I would see, like, on a Jersey Shore or a Floribama Shore.
Oh, which totally makes sense, by the way. What about women who are older? Like, can you have an age limit of sexy when you're an older woman?
My mother is actually in her 60s, and no. But if you're, I've seen some people who are dead and look very good. So,
what cemeteries you hanging at?
Sexy ghosts.
Catholic ones.
I mean, honestly, it's hilarious. He's like, I've seen some pretty dead people that look very sexy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think it is interesting, his perspective, because he was talking about, like, you know, there is an age limit because I don't want my you know, 10-year-old, 12-year-old,
the other way around,
you know, people looking at, like, sexy. They shouldn't be dressing sexy. So I guess, yeah, that's an interesting perspective.
Yeah, it definitely is. Listen, I think that sexy can happen at any age. I definitely do think with our culture right now, and how much we can keep ourselves young at every age with all the different additives, right?
Yeah.
The Botoxes and the this and that. I think we associate sexy with this one look, where I would love to see live in a world where everyone, if we didn't have access to those things, we could kind of like allow people just to age gracefully.
I mean, I don't have access to any of those things because I can't afford it.
Okay. Well, so, at some point, maybe you will. But maybe you can join some sort of Botox focus group.
I mean, I would
for
love
experimental
to.
Botox.
So wait, we asked on social media. We are Channel Q, of course, and you guys are sounding off. Someone answered, yes, definitely. Beautiful has no age limit, but sexy absolutely does. What do you guys think
about that
statement?
No, I don't think. I know there's someone who's beautiful and maybe they're not a sexy vibe. I think you can have sexual energy at every age. I just think, like, that goes
so
back
you
to your spirit.
To
you know when you say you meet someone, you're like, you have an old soul, you have a young school soul. I just feel like this idea of attaching sexiness to someone's physical features, it's so much deeper than that. That's what I think, at least, which is why you can be surprised at how sexy you can think someone is, even if they're not your type. How many times you meet someone and you're like, oh, they're typically not my type, but then you start getting to know them, and wow, do they become so sexy.
Okay, all right, you're getting a little worked up.
No,
I'm talking about a personal experience. Jerry said, and this is a woman, I just want to preface, she said, I once was at a birthday party for a renowned female artist who was turning 100. She made made her entrance in a white sari trimmed in gold, her long silvered hair tucked in a low, whatever. She's really giving me details. Yeah. She wore a hint of pink lipstick and framed her bottomless blue eyes with mascara.
Wow.
She owned the room. There wasn't a man there who could take his eyes off her. So no, sexy has no age limit.
I love that.
Just, I mean, very...
No matter what age
she looked
you
up at thesaurus on that one, because there was a lot of great adjectives.
I love that. Thanks for the response.
I do. Someone also said, nope, I follow some mature ladies that are rocking sexy and have a body that I wish, LOL. Also, depends on what we define as sexy.
And everyone has their own definition. You know, all I'm saying is I'm trying to find a natural Botox. And if you know one, let me know. Okay, coming up, what this mom did. Okay, that's not going to be coming up. We have Dr. Jen joining us after this. We already have people calling in. So we're doing the crossover of our show. So
yeah,
stay
and
tuned.
We're asking our Q&A, right?
Yeah. Stay tuned for Dr. Jen right here on Let's Go There in a moment.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
So before we hand things off to Dr. Jen, who's
the one and only,
Dr. Chris at Loveline. She's also from VH1's Couples Therapy and Sirius. Sorry, I'm trying to get into this.
Girl. You're so starstruck by Dr. Jen.
I'm starstruck by her and her organization. I feel overwhelmed and intimidated.
Shira's like, I have no clue what organization is.
If you go on social media, you can see my planner.
So, Dr. Jen, welcome back.
Thank you.
That is hot, actually. Are you married, by the way?
I'm in a long-term relationship.
Good for you.
I love that. We love a partnership.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Oh, good
and
for you.
Very hot.
Oh, yeah. Now I need to see a picture.
Eric Schiffer. ERICSCHIFFER. Yeah, he's hot. That's my man.
You must be real comfortable in yourself for giving out your man's social handles. Because I wouldn't be doing it. These people out here thirsty. I ain't doing it. We locked up like
she's trying to get him.
Honey, did you forget? Did you forget I write a sex and relationship column?
That's true. I need to learn.
I practice what I preach.
Yes.
Every once in a while, he says to me, would you write a column about this week? What just happened? Did you learn that from your column?
Was it our life?
I'll never tell.
I need to talk to you more. Okay. Yeah. So we talked about a lot of things on this show, but specifically we want to get into these things with you. So if you ignore your partner's problematic views, are you part of the problem? And we brought this up because of someone did this question for this advice column about how her partner talked about other women in a very derogatory way, but he doesn't act like that to her. So is that wrong, right?
I think if you have philosophical disparities on core philosophical issues, you have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You may not ever completely change him, but certainly you can enlighten him. Like this is someone who really needs information. A lot of the time, people say things like that out of ignorance, out of what they've been exposed to, what they grew up in, and sometimes they just need to be enlightened.
And we talked about that.
I think for me, I agree with that sentiment in a way, and I said earlier, because Shira actually brought up that point, but I understand being from the South that you grow up in certain situations where you're not used to this whole identity of when it comes to woke, but honey, we're living in 2019, and there's an internet, and there's a social media where there's conversations that are happening, and I feel like if you do have these conversations with your partner, and they're opening to listen, there has to be some type of call to action. Like, how are you going to change moving forward? And if you make a mistake here and there, we can still discuss it. But you have to see some type of movement.
And look, to me, it also depends on what the offense is.
Right.
Because there
are
some things that are like, you know what, I can live with that if he never changed. And then there are
not
other things
that are
like,
not if you're being homophobic or transphobic.
No way. Yeah, exactly. There are things that are deal breakers, total deal breakers. And also there are other things that... It's enlightenment. It's not taking a finger and, you know,
and wagging.
Yeah, exactly. There's not the finger wagging. That doesn't tend to change people. What tends to change people is empathy, enlightenment, and education. Mm-hmm. You know, that tends to be what makes people woke.
Yeah.
You know, because if it's just, you need to say these things, you know what? Your boyfriend or girlfriend can parrot what you say just to please you, but then they're going to walk into another room when you're not there and do the same thing.
And how do you know if they're going to do that, continue and do the same thing or not, or change?
To me, if you really know your partner, you know when your words impact them or not. You know when it's sinking in and when they're going, wow, I never thought about it that way. Wow.
Not like this, like, oh, okay.
Exactly. Or they're teasing you or mocking you, making fun of you. Oh, you know, all that women's lib stuff.
Yeah. Welcome to my life. Yeah. Oh, my God. Have you been in like, in my relationships watching?
I think that's a deeper conversation about the men's years dating.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm single again. I'm moving
on. Stick around for another hour.
No,
we
can't.
We can just do an hour of straight therapy.
Girl, don't you tease her. She will really do it.
Maybe another night. So I have plans tonight, but I totally am down.
She's going to take you up. She's
and
like,
by the way,
telling you.
We also talked about sexy having an age limit, but you are sexy, and we are sexy at all ages, I think.
Well, I say something about Madonna and how I feel like she's not really aging as the way she should, age appropriateness should be. And I feel like she's hanging on to something that she can't achieve anymore. And I feel like they're
rude.
That ain't rude. How that's just rude. Her wanting to be young forever and to kind of be sexy like the young kids.
With her clothes, with her plastic surgery,
I think
with her music.
I think it's a little bit of everything. I think as someone that, like I said, a 20-year-old sexy is going to be different from a 50-year-old, 40-year-old sexy. And you have to understand that kind of balance in that line when it comes to that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I agree with you.
Ryan bringing sexy back.
But I do think you can be sexy older, you can be sexy younger, and you can also be not sexy younger and vice versa.
Yeah.
A lot of it depends on you, on your attitude, on how you take care of yourself, on how you present yourself, on how you speak.
Strive to be Angela Bassett.
Absolutely.
High standards. God.
I'm striving right now. Do you see it?
Okay. Yes.
So this is me striving.
Well, we are wrapping things up right now. We could have just continued this crossover for a long time, entire episode. We'll be back tomorrow. We're talking about a woman who implanted her car key in her body.
That's awkward.
Yes. And also, ever wonder what happens to your debt when you die? Well, we're going to get into that on tomorrow's show. Let's go there with Sheer and Ryan. 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Channel Q. Stay tuned for Dr. Jen and Loveline right after this. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay, and Dr. Jen's going to save your life.
Have a great night. Keep being sexy no matter what age you are.